Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. Today, we continue our series of debates for the general election on November 5th. We hear from the candidates running for state representative in the 5th Barnstable District, which includes precincts 10, 11, and 12 in the town of Barnstable, precincts 1, 2, 3, 5A, and 7 in Bourne, and the town of Sandwich. Reminder of our format, up to 2 minutes to answer questions on the issues and up to 2 minutes for closing comments at the end, and we will alternate who answers first. Our candidates are Stephen Exaros, is the Republican candidate. Welcome.
Good morning.
And Owen Fletcher is a Democratic candidate. Hi, Owen.
Good morning, Mindy.
So we're going to start, Owen, with you, and we're going to begin with what a lot of people think is one of the biggest issues facing our region, which is affordable housing. Your thoughts on affordable housing?
Well, first, let me just thank you, Mindy, for having us here and organizing this and your listeners, and thank you to Representative Exaros.
Yes, sir.
Participating is very important. So for me, housing is something that I think about a lot. In my earlier career, I was a staffer for the housing committee in the lower house in my state for 5 years. I was a housing authority commissioner. I've had the pleasure of owning a house with my wife here on Cape Cod, and also the misfortune of trying to find an apartment and living in a one-bedroom apartment with my kids' bunk beds in my room because that's all I could afford. So I can't think of a more important issue, there are others, than housing for our residents and our workers. I think the Affordable Housing Bill, Affordable Homes Act was a good start, but I also think we need to do more. We need to find more funding for projects. We need to streamline our zoning. Unless you can make housing more affordable to produce, you're not going to be able to have more affordable homes for people. So if I'm fortunate enough to get elected, I'll work with towns to implement the Affordable Homes Act and look for opportunities. This problem is not going to be solved from Boston only. It's going to be solved at the select board, planning board, zoning board level. So thinking about how to balance that with the environment and the lands we need to conserve, it's project by project.
Thank you. Same question.
Yes, fantastic question. It's probably the biggest issue on Cape Cod. There are others, but that's a big one because it affects so many people. We need places for our nurses, our doctors, our police officers, firefighters to live. Affordable housing. How do you do it? We're doing it a lot already. An example would be Sandwich, where you take the wing school and turn it into housing. Remember, there's only 14% of Cape Cod left to build on. So we've got to do it smartly. We voted for the Affordable Homes Act. I voted for that. That's part of the answer. But a lot of it is local. And another way to do it, I attended a great seminar, you know, One Cape, where you would have pre-approved housing plans that maybe they could be easier to pass in each town on the Cape. We don't need necessarily large homes. We need, I would say, energy efficient homes for our workforce that are affordable, just like we're doing in Dennis, where right now we're building 4 brand new homes in around an acre lot as part of Habitat for Humanity, which I'm on the board of directors. So I actually get to see homes built and realize how that changes someone's life for generations.
Thank you. All right, Stephen Exaros, we start with you this time. Climate change is also a concern on many voters' minds.
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on coastal resilience?
Great question. It's happening in my district, the Fighting Fifth in Sandwich right now, where we have homes along the canal, Town Neck Beach area, and their properties being washed into the Cape Cod Bay, basically, in the canal. And all over the Cape. It's not just a Fighting Fifth Barnstable District area. It's all over the Cape. So coastal erosion is huge. What do you do about it? You put funding into it. In Sandwich, we have millions of dollars worth of replenishment coming from the federal government. You've got to be able to work with both sides of the aisle to get things done. We're doing that in Sandwich. That'll all be replenished. But then you have to look at what's causing it. So over there, it's the breakwater at Scusset Beach. And then you have to look at how do you prevent it? And maybe someday we have some type of barrier out there that stops it from happening in the future. That's just one issue. Climate change is real. We've got to be ahead of the game. And as a state representative, we deal with that every day.
Thank you. Owen Fletcher, same question.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old, and climate change is so big to them, they don't even really want to talk about it at home. You know, I know that my opponent cares about the environment. I can remember reading about when you ran in 2020 with the TCI Accord that you said that you think the environment's important, but it's generally personal responsibility is the most important thing. I think it requires government action. I think it requires collective action. And I know these are big bills that they deal with in Boston with a lot of things that people don't always support. But I do know that Rep. Exaros voted against the climate change goals for 2050 back in the first term he served, and recently voted against the clean energy bill. So I think we both understand that climate change is real, that we're sitting on a coast and it needs to be protected. But how you do that and focusing on clean wind, clean energy and wind, I think is vitally important. So how we come up with money, how we do that, I think needs to be done. I know I've been endorsed by the Sierra Club. The environment's important here, but we need to move forward and make sure that for our energy grid, for the things that we need going forward, that although we need to pay attention to local control, the local issues aren't stopping us from moving ahead to what we need to do to meet that future.
Do you want a minute rebuttal?
The reason why I voted for the recent climate bill, voted against it, was that's the problem. We need more local input and not the state actually telling us what to do. The turbine issue is a great example. It's causing a lot of issues in my district, in the town of Barnstable, and we could talk about that more.
That's my next question.
Oh, good.
When you get to start in this one, we did have that unfortunate issue with the turbine blade at Vineyard Wood that collapsed into the Atlantic Ocean. The debris, as we know, washed ashore in area beaches, including fiberglass shards and foam board. Has this changed your position on wind power, and how do we prevent future problems like this?
Well, it's changed the speed with which I think we need to go through this. I know that they've halted development of the wind farms out there. I mean, you know, I had someone tell me that they even though they live here, they make it to Nantucket once a season and they try to go to the beach with their father and they couldn't even go because these pieces were washing ashore, and then you worry about what it does to marine life. But again, we need a future with clean energy. It's a project by project thing. Any form of energy, whether it's nuclear or wind or oil and fossil fuels, presents risks. And I think how you meet those risks and how you deal with that process is the issue. But one blade breaking doesn't mean that we would stop pursuing wind entirely, just like one oil spill doesn't mean that we all of a sudden don't use oil in our furnaces. This has to be safe, and local concerns need to be paid attention to. But look, we've got an entire energy grid that we're dealing with. And I live in Barnstable, and I hear what people in the district are saying, and I'm at these events. I know my opponent is. And so you do have to pay attention to them, but you can't let one accident or one concern change how you deal with a whole subject area. And you can't let one community, there's three in this district, three communities, you can't let the concerns of one community stop us from doing what we need for the entire Commonwealth.
Thank you. Stephen Exaros, same question.
I support alternate energy in all the forms, but this project concerns a lot of our residents. My concerns are industrializing the ocean with the giant wind turbines out there, what that does to the marine life, running cables under our ocean floor and in some cases on top of it, under our beaches where our people play, through the villages of Centerville or Marston's Mills, and then building massive substations filled with chemicals on top of our drinking water. To me, that has to be done very carefully if it's going to be done. In the town of Barnstable, there's three projects. One's already happened. The second one is in a battle, let's say. And the third one should not happen. We should have alternate energy and green energy, but it has to be done carefully. Industrializing the ocean and what it does to our aquifer, sole source aquifer with the substations, is a big concern of my constituents. My job is to listen and then act.
All right, thank you. We're going to start with you this time, Stephen Exaros. Where do you stand on the proposed machine gun range for Joint Base Cape Cod, and why?
Great question. That is in our district. Joint Base Cape Cod is a military base. I have a lot of military experience, right? I'm a grandson of a soldier. I'm the son of a soldier and the father, a Gold Star father of a Marine. So I support our military. They need a place to train. Joint Base Cape Cod is a place that does that. But you've got to get the facts and listen to your citizens. So I've been out there. I put my boots on the ground. I walked all over that range, which is already there. They just want to upgrade it. And then I hopped in a Black Hawk helicopter and flew above the area and saw what they're trying to do. But it needs to be done only if it will not contaminate our sole source aquifer. That's the key. Trust the science. We're waiting for the final study. And that's the key. No one wants it. The military doesn't want it either if it's going to contaminate the water.
Thank you. Owen, same question.
Yeah, I mean, quite simply, the range in its current form, I oppose. It has to do with the same question we just answered about the substations for wind. I mean, with the substations for the wind, there have been fire chiefs, other officials in the town of Barnstable who have said that's not going to damage the aquifer. In this case, the Environmental Protection Agency says, has a draft report out, it will damage the aquifer. So I, you know, my father-in-law is a military veteran. I work for the Assembly of Delegates. The delegate from Falmouth, Dan Gessen, is deployed with the National Guard now. I understand that the people who are protecting us need to train and they need what they need. And also that the base is a vibrant part of our community. That being said, it's already clear what a new range would do to the soil there, to the aquifer there. And I know that all the Democratic members of our delegation signed a letter to the governor asking her to stop the project. And so I think it's vitally important for a state representative who has that in the district to stand with the people who want clean drinking water. I think the science is already clear what's going to happen. So, you know, I would hope that our current state rep would take a clear position, because we all want the military to have what they want, but we want clean drinking water. That's why this one's hard, and you can't have it both ways. And so I'm not willing to risk our clean drinking water after what I've seen from the Environmental Protection Agency already.
Right. I want to start with you this time. There have been concerns over emerging chemicals of concern, such as PFAS. What do you support to protect public health?
Well, I mean, I've been working for the county for the last 7 years, first as a executive staff member of the administrator and the commissioners, and now as a clerk to the Assembly of Delegates, which is our region's legislature. The county is dealing with a plume of PFAS contamination from firefighters training over at where the airport is and the Mary Dunn Wells and the former fire training academy. It's really important that we deal with this. I know that this is an issue that Rep. Exaros actually has worked on with Senator Sear. Senator Sear sponsored a bill to get rid of it. I know that legislature has passed bills to deal with firefighting, PFAS and firefighting uniforms and protecting our first responders. We need the money for it, right? That's the whole part with this, is the cleanup is going to require on the counties and millions of dollars. So thinking about imaginative ways to secure the funding to deal with it is the main issue. I mean, we all know that we need to ban this stuff and be vigilant, but there'll be another chemical next year and the year after that. It's about how we look, a budget's a moral document, and it's about how we find money in the budget and what we prioritize. And clean water, like we've dealt with in the last three answers now, when you live on a place like Cape Cod, what's more important than your water being clean, to your tourism industry, to what comes out of your faucet? So,
thank you. Stephen Exaros.
PFAS is poisoning people. It's killing people. It killed some of my friends that are firefighters. Cancer-causing PFAS is horrible. One of my proudest moments as your state representative was voting with Senator Sear and the entire 200 of us on that last day. The first in the nation PFAS law for our firefighters and police officers, because that chemical is in their turnout gear. And they wear it to protect themselves, and they never knew it. Well, now we know it. And it was a fight to get that law done, because there are people that make money making those uniforms. And we got it done at, I think, 5 a.m. on the last day. And I was with all the firefighters. They endorse me. They support me. because it's the right thing to do. So now there will be no longer PFAS in their uniforms, and we'll create new uniforms, and the money's there to buy them. We need to protect our people that protect us, and we're doing it.
Thank you. We have the candidates running for state representative in the 5th Barnstable District with us this morning. If you have an issue-oriented question, we ask you ask the same question to both candidates. 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org, and we'll have more after a break. You're listening to The Point. We have the candidates running for state representative in the 5th Barnstable District with us this morning. They are Stephen Exaros and Owen Fletcher. 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Stephen Exaros, your turn to go first. This is a question from Roger in Falmouth. Medical aid in dying permits hospice-eligible, capable adults to receive a prescription from their physicians to take if they decide their suffering is intolerable and die in their sleep. The issue has been well debated in the legislature press and has wide acceptance as an option at the end of life. What is your position on this issue and why?
Very sensitive question. I think I know Roger. There's a doctor that lives here in Falmouth, and I met with him, and he's a real life example of this issue. So me, I support it. Depending on how it's actually worded when it actually comes before us, because it hasn't come before us to vote on. But there's so many safeguards in this bill. People suffer, and I've seen it in my own life, where you're suffering and you're going to die, and maybe there's a better way to spend your last few days. So that gentleman, if that's him, he's living it. He's taught me a lot. That's our job, to listen to our people. And if it's done right, we should be able to die with dignity. And God bless him for asking that question. He's living it.
Thank you, Owen.
I support that bill. When I was in college, I went to Harvard for undergrad. I took a year off. And one of the things that I did during that year is I stayed with my grandmother, who I grew up with. We lived in a two-family house, and watched her die of breast cancer, watched her final days, watched the hospice nurses and the morphine and the suffering that she went through. And I've had that experience with other family members. But in the end, people have to have the freedom to make the choices over their own body and their own lives that they want. And, you know, that has to, whether it's a woman's right to choose her care or a person who's dying to choose the way that they want to die, dignity and choice and freedom means just that. And so if you're going to protect people's ability to have agency in their own lives, you have to protect their ability to choose with proper safeguards. We want to make sure that people aren't being pressured into it emotionally or financially, or that they're well, but people have to have the ability to choose how their life ends.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We're going to go to Judith, who's giving us a call from Sandwich. Good morning, Judith.
Good morning.
What's your question for the candidates?
Yeah, I have a question for both candidates.
Yep.
Can you tell me who you're voting for president and why, and what you think Harris and Trump will have on Massachusetts and Cape Cod?
All right. Thank you, Judith. Owen, your turn to go first.
Well, this is a pretty easy one for me. I tell my Republican friends, and I have some, that we can go back to debating policy when there's a different Republican candidate. Because for me, what President Trump did on January 6th is disqualifying, and he's singularly unfit for office. And so I will be proudly supporting Vice President Harris. I think that what she said in Chicago resonated with me, and we need to move forward as a country, as a nation. This is an extraordinary country, and I think that I feel like my life and the lives of the people I know is proof of that. And so I feel like she has what it takes to move the country forward, and I would love to go back to debating with people on issues, but not during this election.
Thank you. Stephen Exaros.
Great question. It comes up a lot. As a Republican, I support the Republican ticket and policies. I think they're better. I think we can do better. But really, most of my day is dealing with issues in my district. There's so many issues in our district. So I focus on helping people in our district. The national politics can be very divisive. And I try to tell people that's not really how life is. You know, let's help each other here. Let's work together. Listen to both sides and make your decision. The right to vote is so special. It comes at a price. My family has paid that price for freedom. And I encourage people to vote the way they feel.
Thank you. Stephen Exaros, we'll start with you. We're going to go back to an email. Corrine asks, one important job for a state representative is helping people. Can you give an example of a time when you help someone through your work in a professional setting? I guess it's a good one to talk about constituent services,
yeah.
Right? Go ahead.
You know, that's huge. I didn't realize it, but probably 90% of what we do is constituent services. 10% is lawmaking and budgeting. That's in Boston. But in my world, it's about people. That's how I was born and raised. Born in New Bedford, the city of New Bedford, came to the Cape to be a police officer. So helping people is part of my life. I could list a thousand things. But one came up last night. I was at the Chris Herron talk about addiction in Barnstable with the sheriff at the high school. And when it ended, a woman came up to me who I didn't recognize. And she said, Steve, I just want to thank you. And I said, why? And she said, 4 years ago, we were having AA meetings outside, and it was freezing in West Barnstable. And I saw these people standing outside every night in the dark with lanterns. And I stopped and learned that they had no place to meet. So 4 years ago, I found them a place to meet, and they've been meeting for 4 years. And that woman thanked me last night. She said, you changed my life, and I want to thank you. That's what it's about.
Thank you. Owen?
Well, I don't know if everybody would know this. I mean, I've worked for state representatives for 8 years, and so at least three of those were as a frontline legislative aide doing community service, I mean, constituent services. And so I think that, you know, look, the job of a state representative is to create and change laws to address challenges and bring funding. But that next step is connecting your residents and your towns with the programs and services that are funded by that money. And so as an aide, what your job is to do and what my office would be to do is, if I was fortunate enough to get elected, is, you know, contacting legislative liaisons and departments, frontline trying to figure out which agencies and services are available to people, making sure that all of it, whether it's getting someone housing, or we did a lot with rebates for senior property owners, or just getting someone's electric bill paid, right? As I'm listening to Rep. Exaros, I'm trying to think of just one of those to come up with. And unfortunately, I can't, but like, did it for 3 years, you know, and learning how to navigate the system and which providers will give someone, you know, temporary shelter, or which, you know, where people can go to pay their bills, or just all of the myriad and different programs that are available from state government. That is part of the job of being a state representative, is having staff to do that. So what I can tell you is, I did that for a living for a few years.
Right.
So
thank you. All right, we're going to go to Tony, who's giving us a call from Yarmouth. Hi, Tony.
Good morning.
What's your question for the candidates?
Thank you. Rebuilding the canal bridges is a major issue for the district. Do you support tolls to help pay the cost of rebuilding the bridges?
That's a good question. All right. Owen Fletcher, your turn to go first.
Ooh, that's a fun one. No, I support whatever it will take to get those bridges built. They are vitally, critically important. And the last thing I want is tourists paying them, which are going to affect our tourism industry, or God forbid, the people of Bourne paying them, because that bridge, entirely in the district, that bridge is in their town, travel one side of the town from another. But right now, the Army Corps of Engineers owns those bridges. After it's finished, everything I've heard is that the Massachusetts state government will own them. I can't rule out any source of funding, I don't think it's responsible to, because we don't know what's going to happen. But I want the federal government to pay for those, and I want the money to be raised. It looks like we have enough for the Sagamore, but not the Bourne. I mean, look, we had an application to fund these bridges under Governor Baker that was dead on arrival in Washington because it lacked money from the state. I don't know how that happened, but that is true. And so we've taken a phased approach, and we're funding the Sagamore. The answer is I won't rule out any funding source, because if one lane, just one lane on those bridges closes, what that would do to the businesses in Barnstable, Sandwich, Bourne, all of the Cape. You can go read the studies from the Cape Cod Chamber of Commerce and the delegation. So every dollar the government spends comes out of someone's income or pocket. And I don't want anybody to have to pay any more money, but it's too important to rule anything out. I don't think that's responsible.
Thank you. Stephen Exarvis.
We don't need tolls on those bridges to pay for them. There's plenty of money out there. We have to get it. That's my job as a state representative. I work with Senator Warren, Senator Markey, Congressman Keating, the Bourne Selectman, the Sandwich Selectman. Those bridges are in my district. Bourne Bridge, Sandwich Bridge, the Train Bridge, the Sagamore Bridge. So I've been at all the meetings. It's really fascinating. Our job is to get new bridges built. I know the plans. They're all on my website. It's actually four new bridges. They'll be much wider, four lanes one way, four lanes the other. You'll be able to walk across them, and it totally changes the intersections. The interchanges are going to be beautiful. So we've got to get them done. We're halfway there. We have to make sure we get both done, and it'll be a project of a lifetime, but we do not need to pay tolls to fund it.
Thank you. Stephen, we start with you this time. This is a question from Wendy. She says, do you support the gun safety legislation signed into law by Governor Healey this past summer? Why or why not?
Great question. That was a big one. It's still going on. So as a former police officer for 40 years, carrying a firearm, wearing body armor, I looked at that as a police officer, not really as a politician, Republican or Democrat. We all want to be safer. So we need to pass laws that make us safer. Massachusetts already did that. We lead the nation in some of the best gun laws. We already have to have a license. We already have to keep our firearms secure. We already have to have a background check. Those are all things that exist. This new bill, which was over 100 pages, addressed some good issues, like ghost guns, but it went too far. We shouldn't be punishing licensed gun owners. They've already had background checks. It's their right to carry. So there were two issues that I was against. One is the safe zones, so-called gun-free zones. Adding to that, most of the mass shootings in America happen in gun-free zones. That's not a good idea. The criminals won't follow that. And the other is it didn't do enough about mental health, because most shootings and deaths are mental health related. Most of them are suicide or accidental. So criminals with guns need to be punished. Law-abiding citizens with guns should be able to carry them. But the focus needs to be on mental health so we can prevent people from harming themselves.
Thank you. Owen Fletcher?
Yeah, I would have supported that bill. And I think I was disappointed as a constituent or resident that my state representative, Representative, didn't support that bill. Look, I grew up in a household where there were gun owners. I felt safer as a child. It wasn't a great neighborhood because of that. But although we have the some of the best gun laws in the country, they can still be updated. And that's what this bill did, whether it was ghost guns or it was red flag laws or it was laws about assault-style weapons. And most important, I don't feel any safer whether it's licensed or unlicensed people, with people carrying guns in polling places, government buildings, and schools. I don't think that makes anybody safer. I know that my opponent is a former law enforcement officer. I respect that. But although they didn't support the House bill, the Chiefs Association supported the Senate bill, and people have supported it other places. I think that bill would have made us safer. I know that mental health is a big issue in terms of guns. The reason why this bill didn't address mental health is it wasn't a mental health bill. It was a bill to update the Massachusetts gun laws after the Bruin decision by the Supreme Court. And that's what the bill was attempting to do. And as somebody who works in a government complex with a lot of law enforcement around who have guns, I'm worried about someone showing up with an AK-47 or AR-15. I'm worried about people showing up in polling places, government buildings, and schools with guns, and whether they're licensed gun owners or not. When people get into arguments, sometimes guns turn them into a deadly experience. So I think reasonable minds can disagree on this issue. And I strongly disagree with our state rep on this issue, even though I know he's coming from a very principled place from his own experiences.
Thank you. All right, Martha, we're going to go to Martha in Harwich. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning.
What's your question?
I have a question about homeowners insurance.
Okay.
My niece is in Sandwich, and she is a nurse, CRNA. Her husband is a Mashpee firefighter, paramedic. They're raising 3 kids. They own their home. They have an apartment over their garage, which they rent to 2 medical professionals. And recently, her insurance in the last 3 years, her homeowner's insurance, has increased more than double. So she called her insurance company, and they said that it was because of the apartment. And when she asked for a quote from another insurance company, they wouldn't give her one because of the apartment. So we're trying to, you know, add housing through these apartments, and yet insurance companies are denying coverage. So what is the legislature doing about that? We're allowing them, the insurance companies, rate increases, and yet they're threatening residents with dropping insurance.
Yeah. Martha, good question. A lot of folks are struggling with that. Owen Fletcher, your turn to go first.
Yeah, this is a real issue, and in talking to people in the delegation, certainly something that the legislature is intending to take up next session. The way to solve any issue like that is to listen to your constituents, listen to the residents, understand the problems that they're facing for this issue. You would bring in the insurance companies, and you would bring in homeowners and the people who represent them, and you would have hearings, and you would talk about it and file legislation to deal with it. You'd have to balance how to keep the premiums down for people in Massachusetts while acknowledging, as we've seen in California and other places, that if you overregulate the insurance industry, you're going to find less insurance here or higher insurance. But I think that's a really big issue, because for mortgages, people are required to have homeowners insurance. So while I don't know exactly how I'd approach that right this second, I know the process from having worked as a committee staffer and an aide for long enough. That's why we have a legislature, to have hearings on issues like that, to bring people like you or your daughter and family to Boston to testify on it and tell real stories, and to balance those competing interests to produce legislation that's going to help people. And I expect that process to be started in the next session.
Thank you. Stephen.
We pay too much for insurance, house insurance, and automobile insurance. It's too much in Massachusetts. That's one of the reasons why people are moving out, sadly. Affordable housing and other issues as well. But this is a good one. This woman and her family live in my district. So two ways. One is lawmaking, but that takes a long time. So I want her to reach out, if you can, if you're still listening, reach out to my office. It's best by email. That way we can read it. And then we can reach out to the powers that be right now and see what the exact issue is for her property.
All right. Thank you. We are talking with the candidates running for state representative in the 5th Barnstable District, Stephen Exaros and Owen Fletcher. 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. More after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We are hearing from the candidates running for state representative in the 5th Barnstable District this morning. The candidates are Stephen Exaros and Owen Fletcher. And we're going to go to an email. I've got 2 emails that are similar. And Stephen, it's your turn to go first. Mm-hmm. So this one is for Maureen. She says, do you believe the state right to shelter law should apply only to U.S. citizens, or do you support it to help pay the cost of supporting migrants in this area? And then we have Carol, who says something similar. Migrant housing and support is currently costing the state $1 billion a year. year. What is your plan to pay for these costs going forward? Do you believe a tax increase is necessary to pay for these costs?
We don't want a tax increase. It's a great question. It comes up a lot in my district when you're out and about. People ask that question. So Massachusetts is the only state out of 50 that has this right to shelter law. It was passed in 1984 by Governor Dukakis, who's a friend. He's still around. He still comes to the State House. And I think at the time, no one thought that there would be thousands of people coming from other countries to Massachusetts. So I filed a bill to have a hearing. Let's look at the right to shelter law. It's costing us $1 billion. We just spent $1 billion, not $1 million last year. And there's really nothing to show for it. There's no facilities. We're just trying to take care of people that were coming from other countries. I think we need to have a hearing. We need to look at that law. We need to amend it. And unfortunately, the Democrat leadership wouldn't hear it. So I'll have to have it heard next year. But until then, remember, we are a country of immigrants, and I'm proud of that, but it needs to be done properly. There's only so much room. $1 billion was spent of taxpayers' money. There's nothing to show for it. And the bad part is the governor's starting to cut local budgets because of it. So there'll be less police, less fire, schools. They're all getting cut because of this crisis. We need to solve it by listening, working together, and doing the right thing.
Owen Fletcher, same question.
Yeah. Talked to a lot of people over the last year. I think what people are upset about, in large part, about the right to shelter law is that migrants who are coming here with families are receiving benefits that residents, that people in Massachusetts who've been here their whole lives don't have access to. And that's an issue. And I think the Democrat leadership in the House has done a good job working with Governor Healey at starting to put some limits on the shelter program, and including capping the stay for people, or working on getting people working papers and ways to work, or training for that, looking at ways to make sure that we can deal with this issue without busting the state budget. But I don't think anybody should have to sleep on the street, let alone children, in a New England winter or a 80, 90 degree summer. And so when we pit people against one another instead of looking for ways to pay for this, I have a problem with that. I think that just as you could put in a bill to just like you can put in a bill to say we should study the issue, or we should remove that protection for migrant children and their families, you could say we could put in a bill to say that veterans should have the right to shelter, or everyone should have the right to shelter. And I want to work towards that. And I know we don't have all the money in the world, but I'm not aware of us cutting police and fire because of, the right to shelter law. It's a $56 billion budget. We've got to find ways to deal with the basics, and that includes shelter. I'm extremely sensitive to this issue, and we're not made of money. But to start off that way and saying that migrant children don't deserve the right shelter, that anybody doesn't deserve the right shelter when we have a fixed $56 billion budget, I don't support that.
All right. Let's talk to Rob, who's giving us a call from Mashpee. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
What's your question, Rob?
My question is, Beacon Hill is ruled mostly by one party that's focused on big cities like Boston. If elected, how would you be an independent voice to stand up for the people of Cape Cod?
All right. Thank you, Rob. Owen Fletcher, your turn to go first.
I got that one first?
Yep.
Well, I don't think that's the case with the Democratic Party. I know we've got a lot of Democratic state representatives and state senators on the Cape who are focused on Cape residents. One of the biggest jobs of a state representative is to give voice to their district residents. And so I'll be doing that. I can't even speak for myself and be independent. I have to be bound by what the residents in the district want. That being said, there's a Democratic governor and a Democratic supermajorities in the House and Senate, and part and parcel of getting things done is being able to work with that leadership. And so while I want to be an independent voice, I want to make sure that Sandwich, Bourne, and Barnstable get every dollar that they can from the state government and do what it takes to do that. And so, you know, I can't say it better than that. I mean, we all have read about what is going on in Boston and how legislation moves or does not move. But I know that if I'm fortunate enough to get chosen, I will spend every day building relationships to bring money back to the district, to make sure that the district residents and the voice of the people of the district is heard in Boston. I think I've spent 8 years of my career working in state legislatures as an aide for individual legislators and leadership teams. And so I think I can do that and learn how to balance that on day one. I don't have to learn. I'm doing it. So.
Thank you. Stephen.
It's a great question. So in Massachusetts, there are 202 elected officials, and I'm proud to be one of them. It's really special. It's fascinating. Unfortunately, out of the 202, there's only 29 Republicans. So it needs to be more balanced. And you have to be successful in two areas as a state representative. One is with your people in your district, taking care of them, all of them, whether they're Republicans, independent, or Democrat. When I was a police officer, I just helped everybody. In Boston, that's another world. You have to be successful in the state house. And I have been, because you've got to reach across the aisle. You've got to work with people. And we've passed Nero's Law. We've passed the PFAS law. We passed the Best in the Nation HERO Act. I was involved with all of those, and I sat in the back room of a state house with Democrats at 4 a.m. when we passed the HERO Act. So it's an example of being able to work with people to get things done. I love doing it, and we need to keep doing it.
All right. Stephen Gonzalez, we start with you this time. We're seeing mental health challenges on the rise, and access to treatment is a huge issue in our region. Any thoughts on how we make it more accessible?
Absolutely. It's a huge issue. We talked about it with the gun issue. We haven't talked about addiction, I don't think, yet, but that's another huge issue. Mental health is part of all of our challenges. What I want to see is a state-of-the-art facility on Cape Cod. We don't have access. Adolescents and elderly people of all age need to be able to go to a one-stop place and have state-of-the-art care. They shouldn't be waiting in the ER of a hospital, which is not designed really to do mental health. We have a lot of nonprofits that are working on it. Thank God. It's a big issue. But I think the next step is to focus on this and find a place, whether we rehabilitate it or create a new one. There's no excuse why we shouldn't have a facility on Cape Cod that we can go to get all the help you need and not wait in an emergency room or not have to go off Cape to get help.
Thank you. Owen Fletcher.
Yeah, this, like a lot of things, comes down to money. I mean, you know, as someone who works for the regional legislature right now, it's pretty easy to bring in the stakeholders and to talk to people and to do studies, which we do a lot. But that facility that Rep. Gonzalez talks about that he wants to see comes down to money, right? And we just had a previous question where we talked about the state of affairs in Boston. I mean, the fact of the matter is, fair or not, it's really hard to get something done in the minority. The bills that Rep. Gonzalez is talking about, I mean, I'd like to know what bills in the last 4 years he's been the prime sponsor of, or what his plans would be to bring that money back to the district to create that facility, because I think that's really hard. It's really hard for anybody as one of 160 to do that. And I think that it's difficult to find the money to do these things when you don't support taxes on the ultra wealthy, when you don't support any increases in fees. Like, we need a business climate that allows people to live and work here, but we also need to get serious about the fact that our funds aren't limited and we have trade-offs. And if you want to see more money for mental health, or you want to see more money for housing, that you're going to have to find places to do it, and you're going to have to figure out ways to deliver that and what you prioritize in your work.
All right, thank you. Do you want a rebuttal for that? Or go ahead.
Yeah, the money is there. We have to focus and get it done. Right now, the towns are getting millions of dollars thanks to a successful lawsuit. I'm on those committees where we meet and decide what to do with it. And I think if we take a regional approach with a one-stop, state-of-the-art facility, we just spent $1 billion with not much to show for it. We can find the money. It needs to be done. People come first.
We're going to move to closing comments now, and Owen Fletcher, it's your turn to go first.
To go first.
Yep. Two minutes. Go for it. I'm going to give you a 2:15 because we got a few extra seconds.
Okay.
Here.
I mean, you know, so me, we didn't get an opening. I'm a father, a husband, a public servant. I'm running because I believe everybody here in the nation, the Commonwealth, Cape deserves access to the necessities of life, the tools to realize their full potential, and the freedom to live as they choose. To do that, you need state representatives who are doing the job of state representatives, which is creating and changing laws to address those challenges, funding those issues in the state budget, connecting your residents with those services, and conveying the views of district residents. Well, as much as I respect his work and him as a person, we have a state representative who voted to oppose a woman's right to choose, voted to oppose climate change goals, voted to oppose clean energy, voted to oppose gun control legislation, was one of the sponsors of a fundraiser at a gun shop for Congressman Jim Jordan of the Freedom Caucus, and is the prime sponsor of a resolution to rewrite the U.S. Constitution. Those are all principled stances where I disagree, and I would like a state representative that represents my views and the views of the district. You know, I think our state representative works hard, but I would ask everybody who understands how great of a man he is and all of the work that he does in the district to take a look at his record for the last 4 years and ask, what has he done? Not in his charitable work, not in his guise as a public servant, of which he's been a good one for a long time. What has he done legislatively to pass laws and bring back money to the district? Just this year, the House, the Globe said that he was 154 out of 159 to bringing back money to the district in the House, $28,000. By comparison, Dave Vieira, right over in Falmouth, $50-something thousand. Kip Diggs, who came in, Rep Diggs, the same year as him, $230,000. This stuff is real, and while I appreciate that he is principled and that he works hard, it's expensive to live here. Every dollar that we can bring back, every law that we pass to address our biggest challenges, everything that we do makes a difference. And it's all very important. So I'm asking you to take a look at that and take a look at my experience and my record. It's Fletcher for Fifth, FletcherForFifth.com. Take a look at Rep Exaros' website. And I would ask you for your vote.
Thank you. Go ahead, Stephen Exaros.
I'm proud to do this work. I love it. It's all about service and it's all about people. And it's all also about independent thinking. So I'm out and about everywhere, 7 days a week from 7 to 7, meeting people where they're at. And you hear a lot face to face. I'm proud to do this work. I did it for 40 years as a police officer. My family has served our nation. But this job as a state representative is really about independent thinking, working with people that may not agree with you and getting them to follow you. That's the sign of a good politician. I've done that with the Nero law, done that with the HERO Act, done that with the PFAS law. And also I serve on the Ways and Means Committee, which is the most powerful committee in the Commonwealth. Every penny that gets spent out of that $56 billion is approved by me. So I'm proud of that. I just ask people to keep me going. There's a lot of energy that I have. I listen to the people, and I would close with this. The other night, I was at a car show in Sandwich meeting people, and a man I didn't know walked up to me, and he said, "Steve, keep doing what you're doing." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "I've seen you work as a police officer. I live in your district. We're proud of you. You have courage. You have commitment, and we have your back. Please keep doing what you're doing. I know it's hard work, but we appreciate you." And that's what it's all about. And I ask for the people in my district, the Fighting Fifth, to keep me in office.
Thank you. Stephen Exaros and Owen Fletcher, thank you both for being here and sharing your thoughts on the issues. We really appreciate that. If you missed any of it, it's on our website, capeandislands.org. Our debates continue next week, next Thursday, with the candidates running for State Senate in the Plymouth and Barnstable District. I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.